The bride is gathering. The world is failing. Israel's awakening. Nations are breaking. Our prophet taught us we believe the end is here. I look and see at sorrowing picture, the hoarding mobs for selfish gain, their toil of hand for ease and comfort. Can they not see their doom is sealed? It's all in vain. The end is here. The bride is gathering, the world is failing, Israel's awakening, nations are breaking, our prophet taught us we believe the end is here. Sirs, this is the time our prophet spoke of. The angel came with a shout. The mountain shook as his voice cried out. Time is no more, loud and clear. The shout went forth. The end is here. It's now at hand. The bride is world is failing, Israel's awakening, nations are breaking, our prophet taught us we believe the end is here. Have you considered the end time message? Have you considered Malachi 4, Revelation 10, 7, and Saint Luke 17 proclaims this message now and then forevermore. The end is here. It's now at hand. The bride is gathering. The world is Israel's awakening, nations are breaking, our prophet taught us we believe the end is here.
Thank you, Sister Anna. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to say thank you to each and every one of the ones that have given gifts for Father's Day and because of the ministers. I think I can speak for each one of the ministers here, including Brother Dale. Thank you so much to each one of you. Lord bless you all. And happy Father's Day to each one of you who is a father. Amen. Praise God. There was something else I was going to say, and I forgot. Anyways, let's just take up our offering, maybe. Brother Mark, could you help us take up our offering, please? Yes, I also wanted to thank Brother Dale and Sister Peggy for each for the trips this weekend. We really appreciate it and their efforts. Thank you so much. We had a good time. I believe everybody can say the same thing. Amen. Let's just sing that song, Draw Me, Lord. Key of F. Let's just worship Him. How many want Him to draw you? Amen. Draw me more and more than you did 10 minutes ago. Draw me, Lord. Again, draw me.
Draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you. Draw me. Draw me, Lord. And I'll come running after you.
For you alone.
You alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. You alone are all I need. In you alone I am complete.
Once again, draw me. Destiny,
for you are my destiny.
You alone are all I need.
You alone are all I need.
In you alone I am complete.
In you alone I am complete.
Draw me, Lord.
Oh, draw me.
Yes, draw me.
Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
Once again, draw me.
Oh, draw me. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
Praise the Lord. I trust that that's your desire. Amen. Let's sing this right before we have Brother Wade come. Let's just sing I Would Not Be Denied on page 663 in the spiral book. You'll see. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing.
When pangs of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied.
Jacob in the days of old,
as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestle with the Lord, and instant with a courage bold, I stood upon His word. I would not be denied. Old Satan said my Lord was gone. Old Satan said my Lord was gone and would not hear my prayer. But praise the Lord, the work is done and Christ the Lord is here. Hallelujah.
God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Wouldn't be anywhere else. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you. God bless you. I don't think the sister standing next to Sterling is not a visitor. She's been here before, right? Yes, she's been here before. Okay. So we have no visitors in the house. What, Josh? It's hot? Amen. Hallelujah. It's hot. Thank you, son. Oh, you're talking about the temperature. Oh, man. Come on now. Turn it down, Rich. Turn those ceiling fans on if you need to. That's what they're there for. Unless it dries out your contacts or... We ain't going to sleep. Ain't no sleeping spirit in this house. Not today. Amen. God bless you. Happy Father's Day, like they said before. And if you have a father, make sure you tell him that. And thank God that we have a Heavenly Father. That's the first Father. And he's the Father's Day every day. Thank you again. I want to thank each and every one of you that went on the fishing trip with us. Well, it's not a fishing trip anymore. We're going to just call it Fellowship. Father's Day Fellowship. It used to be that we fished a lot. Now I think we just fellowship and eat a lot. So it's going to be now Father's Day trip. Do what? Well, it's kind of like y'all. It's the sister's day. The sister's day, whatever y'all had up there, was a laughing fit or whatever I heard it was. So, but thank Brother and Sister Dale again for she went with y'all and Daddy went with us. So let's don't get that swapped up. Let's just keep it the way it is. For a way of announcements, remember a new one here. Brother Terrence brought this to my attention. At 9:30 in the morning, I know we start our Sunday school classes at 9:45, but just kind of migrate to your Sunday school classes because some people are still sitting downstairs. And when they do, and we're in there yakking and talking from 9:30 to 9:45, they can't watch when we turn the tape on for the preliminary service. So just about 9:30, everybody kind of migrate away from that middle room so that some can still watch because the monitor's on. for you to watch the services. So just be mindful of that. And I know we don't need to start till 9:45. I didn't say start Sunday school at 9:30. I just said you need to migrate away from that middle room about 9:30. Go outside or go into Sunday school class and start praying a little bit. Maybe if you'll pray, then it'll be, you know. So anyway, also now remember coming up, July the 4th will be two Saturdays from now, and we will have Brother Andrew Glover, brother from up north. He's not from West Virginia now. He's from Virginia. So he will be with us on Saturday at 11 o'clock. It will be a youth service. We're already getting some requests for coming, so we may have a crowd. But there's a whiteboard on the refrigerator downstairs, and it says, if you can keep someone in your room, in your home, please put your name down, okay? Now, we will not be able, listen, we will not, now, Brother Dale may at his house, but Brother Andrew's staying with me, him and his wife, but let's try to keep this for the older, for the younger kids. What I'm saying is don't try to fill up with a bunch of older people when we can accommodate the kids coming and staying with us. So just write your name down if you can keep someone in your home during that Saturday night, a place to stay. And then we need someone else. June, you need to put another one down there to sign up to help prepare the food, because we are going to feed the people after we get finished with the service. And then we'll just have a time of fellowship for the youth. Then we'll have regular service on Sunday at 10 and at 2, and Brother Andrew Glover will be doing both services. So keep that in your prayers. So, all right, God bless you. Good to be here. We're going to start a new journey. We were all into Abraham and all into Ruth and into Esther, and now we're going to start with the children of Israel on the Feast of the Lord. That's the name of it. It wasn't the Feast of Israel. God never called it the Feast of Israel. I'll read you a scripture in just a few minutes. He said, those are my feast. They're my feast. They're not yours. They're mine. Because he's going to bring in, just like Brother Dale saying, we didn't call on God, and God called on us. So he called these people to this feast, showing, representing that God calls us to a feast. All right. And then they kept the feast days in the Old Testament. We don't keep those feast days because we know that when Jesus Christ came, he gave us a rest. But we still can walk through all of these seven feasts, and we're not going to do them to get them today, but I have more sheets if anybody wants any. These are the cheat sheets. They've got all my notes on them because I messed up and gave all my stuff out, but I had to make notes. So I had some with notes on them. So if anybody else needs a copy, you can have one, but we're going to go through the feast days, all seven today, real quick, just tell you what's going on, and then we will take each day, because, man, you can just keep going and going and going and digging into the Word of God, because it's eternal. Word of God's eternal. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer just before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray that you would sanctify our lips, Lord, to speak. And sanctify our ears to hear, Father. Because without you, Lord, as the active participant in the service, it's just a meeting of people, Lord, and we'll go home and say, oh boy, that was good and sounded good and felt good. But what about tomorrow, Monday, when all the devils in hell try to come against us? What are we going to do then, Lord? You told us you gave us the shield of the word, Father. And that word is coming forth today, Lord, to help each and every one of us to live a better life and to keep growing in grace and knowledge to the stature of a perfect man. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless this day. Take care of each and every one of us, Lord. Keep us healthy and keep us alive and well, Father. We pray that you be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. And bless the ones that are watching in, Lord. Some of the ones, Lord, that are at home sick. We pray that you just bless them, Lord, the older ones. We pray that you give them supernatural strength, Father. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So these are going to be the feast of the Lord. But before we read this, I forgot to read our important scripture in 1 Corinthians 10. This says, now all these things happen to them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
because today when we read this, this is God talking to the children of Israel. But you and I are not the natural children of Israel. We're the spiritual children of Israel. All right? We are sons and daughters of God. We are Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't come to this feast. It was for the Jews only. All right? So if you're born again today, then you will be able to see these feasts in your life. You better be able to see them in your life. Okay? And so that's why I say it's the journey of a believer. If you're a believer today, you'll see that when we start and talk about Passover, you know what happened. You know what happened in the unleavened bread and the first fruits and all the different ones that we're fixing to go through. But watch what it says here in Leviticus 23, because that's what we're going to stay on. If you want to keep those and make notes on your paper, that'll be wonderful. And the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah God. All right, that's the man. Talk to Moses, says, speaking to the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord. Ah, not the feast of Israel. The feast of the Lord, because he's calling them to his feast. Today, you were called to a feast. All right? Speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, and we'll get into that word in a minute, even these are my feast. So he said it twice. These are my feast. But now watch. We'll read the scripture again, but I'm going to read it when you can sit down. 6 days, or you can stand up. You can't, won't go to sleep standing up. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Unholy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the capital L-O-R-D in all your dwellings. These are the feast of the Lord. Now that's the third time he said these are the feast of the Lord, not the feast of Israel. These are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. You may be seated in the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word. Now these things were given for Israel to do. They were something they were required to do. Because, and we know one thing's for sure, that in the Old Testament that God went with Moses. He went with the different prophets in the Old Testament. And don't be scared when you hear that we believe God sent a prophet in the end time. Because God sent prophets all the way from Moses, Abraham, Moses, all the way down. And it's just not so, it's hard for people to fathom maybe, but it's all in the Bible. God had to speak through these prophets to tell us and correct us and put us on the right path because man, us, we, people, got off the track. Amen? I mean, how can God be so confused and have like 10,000 different denominations? How can that happen? You tell me how that 10,000 different people look at the Bible and 9,999 of them believe in three gods or believe in a Trinity. There is no such thing as Trinity even in the Bible. That word was developed by man. Luis did an outstanding job Wednesday night bringing that out. I don't want to serve three gods. I want to serve one. Because it's really easy to serve one. When you got two or three running around, you got to go find them. I'm just being funny, but that's not the way it is. What was the first commandment? We're talking about Israel. What was the first commandment? Everybody believes in the Ten Commandments? What's the first commandment? Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is three. Oh, what'd he say? Huh? What? One. Jesus standing on earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, he's lying if there was another person somewhere else. If you've seen me, and he looked at him and he said, I and my Father are two. Oh, three, one. There's just different offices of that same God. And this Jehovah God that we see, he was in spirit form and he moved across the people as Brother Luis was bringing out so wonderful Wednesday night. The Spirit of God moved across the face of the earth. One God. And he only had one name. And Jesus Christ is that name. God's not a name. Jehovah's not a name. Sorry. Rose of Sharon's not a name. Lily of the Valley's not a name. There's only one name. And the Bible tells us the whole heaven and earth name is Jesus Christ. Amen? At Jesus Christ is what we were talking about. That God came down in human flesh. That same God that spoke. Hey, they even knew, remember the writers, they even knew in the New Testament, they said, Thou art the Christ, the Creator. And there stood Jesus in human flesh. But He was fulfilling John 1, verse 14, that said, In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. So if He was the Creator Word in the beginning, He came down and had to come into human flesh to save me and you. This is the only religion that our God is required to die. You say God can't die. No, He can't die. But in the form that He took down here on earth, He did. That body of Jesus died, but His soul was Almighty God. Or He was another person. And then you've got two people talking to each other. But anyway. But Israel, we only got one. And that one God is talking to them and telling them that you've got these days that I have set up, these feast days. If you want to go ahead and look on your sheet there, we see that the Hebrew lexicon tells us that feast is moade. Moade. That's how you pronounce it in the Hebrew. But it's an appointed place, an appointed time, or meeting. Appointed time, general, a sacred season. Now that's what we're going to hone in on today. It's a sacred season and a set feast. Now listen, let me tell you how accurate these feasts are. They always started at an event. They didn't just pop up one day and said, let's have a feast. No, God said, kill the lamb. Passover. Unleavened bread, one day after that. It goes for so many days. Then you got what? First fruits. Do you know, we're going to get into this, do you know that it's wonderful that Christ was the first fruit of the resurrection? And do you know that no one in Israel, think about this, no one in Israel could eat one bite of that field. I'll read it later. No one eat a bite of that food until the high priest waved the first fruit over the people. You're not going to get it without a fivefold ministry. And we're not going to get it right unless God sent a prophet to make it right. According to Malachi 4, He said, I'll send you, not us, you, Elijah the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You say, well, that could be John the Baptist. No, it couldn't. Malachi 3 is John the Baptist. He was one that told His people, He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that's exactly Malachi 3, not Malachi 4. And when we get into these feast days, toward the end of it, we're going to re-preach the five cups of Elijah. Because it's kind of strange that even Israel to this date have five cups for Elijah, and we have five comings of Elijah, which we believe was Elijah, Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham, and there's one more to come. And there, he's the one that's going to Israel to draw out the 144,000 according to the Bible. Is that right? Say amen. All right. That was weak. Say amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, you ought to say it.
Amen.
Thank you. So now let's look at the sacred season, a set feast, an appointed season, an appointed meeting. It's an appointed place. The Hebrew lexicon tells us that a convocation is a calling together, a sacred assembly. Do you know if they even, remember the man in the Bible that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day and they stoned him? You didn't do anything on the Sabbath. But now let's get this clear. Now let's start reading. Go to your page here, the first page, where it says Leviticus 23. This one kind of sums everything up. Because what happens is now a Sabbath is not part of the feast days. Now we're going to have to draw a calendar and we'll get into all that stuff, but a Sabbath is not a feast day. It's a holy convocation. You do no servile work. You do not work. That is on Saturday. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Sabbath is not Sunday. We worship on Sunday. I'm trying to be slow so everybody can hear. Some people say I go start too fast. I'm going to slow down a little bit so the slower ones can hear. Understand. And I just lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? See, if I go slow, I can't do that. But I thank you, Brother Bob. I was getting back to it. So the Sabbath day was the seventh day of the week. They had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Did I miss one? What's the first day of the week? Sunday's the first day of the week. Monday's not the first day of the week. Sunday's the first day. Look at your calendar. You got a phone? Look at it. Sunday's the first day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday was the seventh day. So the Sabbath to Israel was on that seventh day. We worship on the eighth day, the first day, because of what? Resurrection. Listen, we as Christians should not have one day called Easter.
Amen.
We commemorate the resurrection every week.
Amen.
Every Sunday we commemorate that Christ raised from the dead and that you and I are recipients of that resurrection.
Amen.
Slow down. But listen, let's watch this. In Leviticus 23 verse 1, you can look on your chart or look on your paper. The Lord spake unto Moses saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and say to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Now this is totally separate from the seven feast days. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
This is, God is setting up a rest day because what's going to happen is, it's kind of real strange that the Sabbath day, the day after Jesus was crucified, they call it a high holy day. The Passover fell on a Sabbath. That's why they had to get him off the cross before 6 o'clock.
Right.
Oh, you say 6 o'clock. Israel's, we've been through this before, Israel's day begins 6 o'clock in the afternoon until the next day at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody got that? Because you know where they get that from? Some of you know that. When the day of creation, what did the Bible say? The evening and the morning is the first day. The evening and the morning is the first day. So Israel, their day begins, their Sabbath begins on our 6 o'clock Friday. And goes until 6 o'clock Saturday afternoon. So on this seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not work. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. Now see, now watch this. That continually goes all the time. Especially back then. God set up this one day that you do nothing.
Yeah.
Reflect, worship, whatever you want to do, but you do not do any servile work. Service work. Servile means service. No service work. All right? Is to be done. That has nothing to do with these feast days, but sometimes these feast days would fall on or after or before that Sabbath. So that Sabbath is your, that is your marker, or that is your point, because what we're going to look is, we're going to read on through here and see that certain things happened right after a Sabbath. You marked a Sabbath and then something happened after that. All right? Everybody got that? Well, you know what? We call it Monday, but happens our Sabbath, we get a Monday. And we all have to, you know, Satan just piles back in on top of us, and here we go again, you know, through down the rat race. But I hope we get enough on Sunday and Wednesday to get us through this thing. All right, these are the feasts of the Lord. Verse 4, 6 days shall you work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation, you shall do no work therein, it is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Now let's go to verse 5. Verse 5, we're going to start with the Passover. All right? You should have that back there because all of us have got it here. We're on this one, so y'all can watch that. All right, here we go. Okay, on the 14th day. Now listen, we got to establish a few things here. Real quick, I just want you to think about this, and then I'll see if I can find my chart that I did several years ago downstairs, my little wheel chart when I was doing Daniel 70 weeks, and we can find out what's going on. But you just got to realize in your mind that their first day of their first month is not January 1st. That's us. Okay? Israel's first day, first month of the year is April. Or Abib, or there's another word for it, but we're going to leave it at that for a minute. In the 14th day of the first month at evening, is the Lord's Passover. Everybody got that? Say amen. On the 14th day. Now, when we get into this, I'm just going to give you a little tidbit of information. What happened on the first day of the month? No. You put the lamb up. You put the lamb up on the first day. Because God told Israel, when we go back into Exodus, when God told Israel, said, I'm coming through and I'm going to take your firstborn, in other words, the death angel's coming, you got to put up a lamb without blemish for 14 days.
Right.
So on the first day of April, you're going to take your lamb and you're going to put him up for 14 days. Make sure there's no blemish. Make sure there's no typing how Christ had no sin. He took our sin. He didn't have any sin.
Right.
He took our sin. There was no broke bones. You had to make sure the lamb didn't have any broke bones.
Right.
And no bruises, because that was the lamb that they wanted at the time.
Right.
Then on the 14th day, you sacrificed it. All right? Now, on the 15th day of the same month, now that was Passover, for you, those of you that's got my cheat sheet, if you'll underline that, that's number one. Passover is number one.
Right.
All right? So now on the 15th day of the same month, we're in Abib. Now remember, listen to me real quick. April is the first day of the Jewish religious calendar. Everybody got that? Now, if you go to a website concerning Israel, their civil calendar starts in October. Their civil calendar is different from their religious calendar. Listen, we're going by the religious calendar because God said that's the day you do it. Because when we read the Passover, God's going to say this is exactly when you do this. Everybody got that? Now, I don't want this just to be a story. Put this in your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Have you experienced a Passover where the death angel has passed over you?
Yes.
If you hadn't, then you're still dead.
Right.
Me especially, I was the firstborn. The bestborn, sorry, the bestborn. The firstborn. Don't be giggling. Listen, the firstborn, like Brother Brown said, you know, the story, the little boy, you know, tugged his daddy's coattail and said, you sure you got this thing right? You got the blood over the doorpost, and we'll see how that symbolizes the cross because it went over the... Okay, everybody got that? But you sure, Daddy, you make sure you covered all that because I'm the firstborn. In the 14th day of the first month, that even is the Lord's Passover. That's number one. On the 15th day, which is the next day of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days. Now, this one lasts for 7 days. Basically, it's going to be an 8-day feast.
Right.
Passover, then 7 days for unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. How many of you, when you take communion, that is unleavened bread? How many of y'all would like to eat that every day? Monica, I'm going to raise my hand too, but I like it. But most people like a little leaven in there. It'd be hard to eat a cheeseburger with unleavened bread. So, but what's it doing? There's a symbol. We'll get into that a little bit later. I just want you to see the feast days today so we don't, not here so long. 7 days you must eat unleavened breads. There's going to be no leaven in your whole house. Get it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of all the problems in our house. 1, 2, 3. Oh, anyway. We'll get into that. Speaking of the statue of perfect man. See, everybody says, well, the Passover, I'm born again, everything's fine. You know, that's great. But God wants more. God, you just got the baby here. God wants that baby to grow. Little Jesus in the cradle couldn't die for me. He had to grow. And the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover, right? Number two, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now watch, we'll get into all this, but that's number two. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You don't do any work on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord for 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. So the first day and the seventh day you don't do anything. No servile or service work is to be done. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you. Now this is one of the feasts that's tied to harvest. There's a few of them that's tied to harvest. And I want you to think about harvest, not harvesting beans and potatoes and carrots. Harvesting Zach Black. Yourself. Listen, God's going to reap a harvest, and it's us. Speaking of the children of Israel, saying to them, when you come into the land which I give unto you and shall reap the harvest thereof, watch this. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now watch the first fruits. That's the first thing that comes to maturity. We have a field right now that's full of corn. I got all kind of corn from knee high to way above head high. The first fruits are the one that stands out. The first fruit to me is the one that got the most nutrition. The one that got the most S-O-N light. There's a lot of types here. You're going to have to dig them out yourself. I can't get them all. Sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, look, to be accepted for you.
Right.
On the morrow after the Sabbath. So there has to be a Sabbath, and the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, what was the morrow after the Sabbath during Jesus' time? Remember, Jesus was dead Sabbath day. His body was physically dead Saturday. What was the day after Sabbath? Sunday. When did he rise? When did the first fruits come out of the ground? Look, it's just a wonderful type. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. When Jesus Christ stepped out of that tomb and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, there was your priest. There was your first fruits of the resurrection, and everything else behind him is depending on that resurrection. So look, so the people, look. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Like Brother Dale was talking this morning, we were chosen. Listen, you can be chosen by God. The devil was chosen by God. But you can't be chosen in Christ and not be Christ. Amen? We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. So I put all of mine on Him because it was accepted for me. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf an he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire. We'll get into all these symbols in a little while, but I want you to see them all. But watch this. Look at verse 14. You shall eat nothing. You shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the self same day that you have brought an offering unto your God. Until you have come and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and started living a life of Christ and start coming to church and listening to what's going on, you ain't eating. I'll just put that in plain English. You ain't eating. Oh, you might be physically eating, but all you're doing is helping this guy. But when you spiritually eat, you're required to wait until that first fruit comes forth and preaches you a message. And then you receive from that message, and what do? You eat.
Amen.
All right? Brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So, man, it's not supposed to go away. Excuse me. Now, watch this. Here's number four. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. Now, the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Now, this is coming up to the Feast of Pentecost. Penta means what? 50. All right, so the Feast of Pentecost, you see, what is seven Sabbaths? Seven times seven is what? All right, but it's the day after the Sabbath is when you start that. So it will be on the 50th day.
Right.
And it's kind of strange that the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus came out of the tomb,
right,
on the Feast of First Fruits. They were literally, we're going to go through this. Jesus went to church. A little dizzy there. Jesus went to church. Even the Bible says, as the custom that he was used to. He went to church. But he would go to church. He would show up on these Sabbath days. And on these feast days, he would show up. He showed up on the Feast of Unleavened Bread and he said, I am the bread of life. You don't need to eat that anymore. Come and partake of me. All ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So you complete 49 days, and then on the 50th day, even unto the morrow, what is that? The day after, shall you number 50 days. Now that's why this is called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost, because it counts weeks. You count 7 weeks. Seven sevens is 49 days. 49 days, and then the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Now watch this right here. Because like I said, we're going back over this. I'm just trying to stoke your mind so maybe you'll start thinking about it. Remember, it's always been unleavened bread. It's always been affliction and sorrow and the Passover, killing of the lamb and all these things. You know, these, we would say horrible things, eating unleavened bread and all that. But watch this. This is where Israel couldn't understand when this all happened, because we're fixing to put leaven into this. Now, let me ask you a question. What was the Feast of Pentecost? They baked 2 loaves of 2/10 deal, which is a measure. All right. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baking with... Now, we take leaven as sin in the Bible, right? But when we look on the day of Pentecost, what happened? God came down into some unleavened bread and filled them and baked them. 120 in the upper room. That's the same way he's doing me and you. He's taking and putting himself inside of you. Yeah, you're 11. You got 11. Yeah, you got sin. But you know what? God decided this is the way it's going to be. So he put it right here. Now, we'll get into all that, but maybe it'll help you. Look, you and they shall be bacon. They got to go through fire. Hot fire to bake these bread that what? It's going to what? What are we going to do? Rise. We're going to rise. And they are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish. We'll get, like I said, we'll get into all this later. I'm just reading this so you can mark it on your paper or mark it in your Bible. So you offer all these things, a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering, their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit. Because what happened on the day of Pentecost? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God said, I'm coming back in spirit form and I'm going to not go on my people. I'm going in my people. I'm going in and I'm going to make, they're going to be loaves of bread walking around. Well, I know they're going to have leaven. You got, listen, we're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. Maybe some of you are not. And the priest shall wave them. What was waved on the day of Pentecost? 120 little Jesuses were waved to the people. They said, hey, I'm starting something here. But remember, there's your 4 feasts. And they happened in the month of April, May, and June, somewhere in there. Everybody got that? That's 4 of them. Right? Passover, unleavened bread was the next day. First fruits was the Sabbath after the crop started coming in. And your 4th is the day of Pentecost. Now, on the day of Pentecost is when God came down, like I said before, and went into the people. Right? And that was God. That was Jesus produced Passover. He was part of unleavened bread. He was part of first fruits. And he sure enough was part of the Pentecost. But then now we're going to have a long gap.
Right.
We're going to have 2,000 years of a gap since Pentecost back in when? AD 30. There's been 2,000 years that God has waited because the next 3 feasts are in the fall. And Jesus is not going to do those 3 feasts. Oh yeah, he's going to be a part of them, but he's not here to do them. It's going to be done through me and you. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. He shall proclaim on the self same day. The priest shall wave the bread and on the self same day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean remnants of the corners of thy field. You know why? Because there's 144,000 that's going to have to get some of this food. Amen. Amen? Don't clean your corners. Why? Because what is the corner? That's what Ruth was doing. Ruth was gleaning the corners. It was made for the outsider. It was made for the person that was still here.
Amen. Amen.
Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Leave it. Get the stock. Get the good stuff. Because that's what I'm going to what? Harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses saying, now remember, this was the first month through the second month into the 50 days of Pentecost. Everybody got that? Say amen. Wake up. Breathe. Pray a little bit longer next time, okay? I like what Brother Darty, he gets up and he puts them big old hands up. I thought, man, if I could just get under them wings sometime. Let God raise them big old hands up. So what's going to happen is now we're going to the seventh month. Now you say, oh, the seventh month is January, February, March, April. No, you've already started wrong. Seventh, thank you, it's October, we know that, but for the newer ones here, April, May, June, July, what? September, October.
Right.
So this is a fall feast, which has to do with some of harvest, but we'll get into every one of these. We're going to take each one, but now we're in the seventh month. We're in October, our October, in their seventh month. In the first day of the month shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So there's what? The Feast of Trumpets. That's number five. Under the Feast of Trumpets, what is the trumpet? It is a blowing. Now remember, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and a trumpet. God, you're never going to hear it's a trumpet. It's a message.
Yes. Glory.
What does a trumpet do? Listen, before there were cell phones, when was that? The kids are going, wow, no cell phones. Any of you remember not having a cell phone? Adam, you do not. You might not have had one, but your mama Nettie did. But listen, before communication, all communication was by what? You made a certain noise. Even in the Calvary, you remember, you watch them old movies, they didn't, John Wayne didn't pull out his Motorola and go, we need to charge. Maybe wake you up a little bit. But no, what'd he do? He said, sound the alarm, charge, and then they'd go, and here they go after the cowboys and Indians, so, you know, running down. You understand what I mean? But there's a certain one for retreat. There's a certain one for moving left. There's a certain, because you couldn't, you could hear the what? The voice of the trumpet. The voice of the trumpet. Don't listen for a, listen for a voice. Because a trumpet tells you something. The Bible tells if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, you go, what? What is that man talking about? What is that person? What do you mean? Yeah. Listen to the right trumpet. And also on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. Now there's number six. Day of atonement. Now remember, watch this. You shall afflict your souls. It is a time that you do not kill anything, but you make an atonement, an offering made by fire, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, because you're mourning not the fresh kill. You're mourning what happened in Passover. You watch, when we get into this, the atonement, you atone for your sin. The priest makes an atonement sacrifice. Jesus Christ made the atoning sacrifice, but you're going to have to go with me, because remember, he's not here. Those feasts are done on that harvest time through a bride. And this may be hard for a lot of you to understand, but this world is being judged by the bride of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the saints will judge the earth. As I've told you many times before, you and I are the cause of a lot of things that are going on around here. Because when we leave, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. Because the mercy now, the atonement is being made to this earth by the bride being here. Everybody got that? Because we're here. God can't lay the plagues out. He can't turn the devil loose on this world like he's going to do when you and me leave out of this place. Amen? So that don't make us special people, but I'm special because he said I'm special. Amen? I'm special because he said I'm special. Amen? Also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day. It looks like they never worked. But they did get some work somewhere. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement. And that's number 6, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever, now watch how important this is. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off. That's not the worst part. Read the next verse. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever. I'm trying to read. I'm trying. Thank you. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month, at even, from even to even. That's what, now does that mean evening to evening? Everybody got that? From evening to evening. You shall afflict your soul in the 9th day of the month at even, even unto evening, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now this is the last one. Same month, in the 15th day of this 7th month, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord.
Right.
On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day, now this is where Brother Brown talks about the 8th day. Because let me give you a little background to some of the ones that are new. A seven means complete, right? You got 7 church ages, you got 7 messengers, you got 7 seals, you got 7 vows, you got 7 pledges, you got 7 of this and 7 of that and 7 of the other. All right, so 7 is a completion. But remember, in looking at your Bible, the millennium is still the 7th day. 7th day is time. Everybody got that? 7th day is time. The 8th day, which there is no 8th day. The Beatles sang about it. It's kind of strange how that the world picks up on religious things and then they throw it in a song. The days of Aquarius, all the, by the 5th dimension. Where'd that come from? The 5th dimension. Okay. But anyway, but you see it, that there is an 8th day, but it's just the first day all over again. Now, we were showing downstairs in the Sunday school class, there's your 8, or what is the sign of eternity?
Right.
It's the number 8 laid down.
Right.
But you have no stopping place. So if you're born again today, you're in the 8th day. Your soul is in the 8th day. You're born again. How much more eternal can you get? You're just working on this guy because he's still in the 7th day. The holy convocation, he's still in the 7th day. Because what is the Feast of Tabernacles? This right here. Not the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of this tabernacle, because what happens is they go and build them a booth and they go out there and sit in it for 7 days. You saw that, didn't you? Dad and them, when they were in Israel, they saw, they just put these little booths out in the yard and they go sit in them. We'll see what that symbolizes later on. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Let me get back to my point. Time runs all the way to where? The millennium is literally 1,000 years of time. But now when John saw this holy city coming down out of heaven, the Bible says that God says time is no longer. So time will blend into eternity. There'll be no time in the new home that we go to. And listen, folks, we know one thing for sure. It's not up there. This is where it's going to be. John saw the holy city coming down out of heaven and sitting on a mountain. This is our earth. Wasn't this Adam's earth before this all, the fall? Wasn't this Adam's?
Amen.
Well, we're going back to be restored back to that. So on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation unto you. Shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, everything upon his day. I'll just read it from here. Thank you. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which you give unto the Lord. See, this is not just, well, this is all I got to do. And that's the way it is today, Christian. Well, this is all I got to do. Come church. I read my daily devotion. Twice. No, he wants you to look at all that stuff he told you. Free will offerings and all the things that you give to God. It's a daily walk with the Lord. So now let's finish, this will finish it up. Also on the 15th day of the 7th month. Now this is the feast of still of tabernacles. He's telling them what to do. When you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. Now this is tied to the harvest. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. And you shall take on your first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. Hey, where's Jonas? Where's Jonas? Y'all built one of those up here at the cabin. You built one of those. You took boughs of trees. There wasn't any palm trees up there, but they took every stick there was in the woods laying on the ground and made them a teepee. Right? Oh, Brother Gary said three of them. I think Luke was involved in all three, right? Luke was down there trying to saw a tree with a Leatherman little scratch knife. And he's got a tree this big around, and he's going, where? Oh, Jonas did too. I told him, I said, hey, make me a toothpick. But this is what you got to do. You got to bring that in. And it looked good. They did look good, didn't they, Brother Gary? They did. And I wouldn't have stayed under during a rainstorm, but they look all right. And no, matter of fact, I couldn't have got under any of the three. So a lot of me would have got wet, like when we went camping one time with Aaron, and he took this little bitty tent that was made for somebody like Jonas, and he tried to sleep in it. There was more of him outside than there was inside. You got in it sideways, and your feet were still hanging out. I'm not telling a story. Amen? Because we were trying to see if the bears would grab a hold of us. But when a bear grabbed a hold of his foot, he had to be a real big bear to get him out of that thing. So anyway, now to wake you up a little bit. So they look. And I love what this types, because what is Israel going to do in the millennium? Now you and I don't build houses. But the Bible says that you'll build houses and you'll inhabit them. Telling Israel this is a type of the millennium, which is still the 7th day. You got to keep it in the 7th day. And you shall take on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, the branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And look, they didn't put these little things in secret. They put them out there where everybody could see it. You put your life every day.
Amen.
You put your tabernacle every day out there so that the world can see it. So what are they looking at? That's my question to you. What are they looking at, brothers and sisters? What are they looking at? This world is in a chaos. They just need God. And we're the only God they're going to see. If that's too strong for you, just swallow and take it. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month.
Right.
Now, what is the 7th month? It's harvest month.
Right.
You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Everybody. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So you got the feast of what? Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost in the first part of the year. Then you have a long period of time before you have the other feast, which are the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And then the prophet of God tells us that you and I are feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles because it's God tabernacled in human flesh. Amen? Now I want to bring one more thing out. Keep these, and I'm going to leave these here if y'all want another one. There's one more thing I want to go to, and they don't have it, but let's go to Exodus 23, because there's one point I want to make before we leave, and we'll get into this, and this is really good, but this is going to be after we finish everything, but I want to stoke get you kind of stirred up and say, well, what is that about? Because God told them, in chapter 23 of the book of Exodus, chapter 14, there's three feasts that the males had to keep every year.
Yeah. Right.
Three feasts every male had to keep. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, which is April. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Now listen, the whole underlying meaning is the males had to come to all three of these feasts. So Jesus had to come to all three of these feasts. Everybody got that? Say amen. So he had to go because he was a male child. He had to go to these three feasts, which was unleavened bread. Let's just read it right here. Unleavened bread. In verse 16, the Feast of Harvest, which is the first fruits. He was the first one ever born like that. Hello? How many virgin births do you know of? Okay. The Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord. Now remember, and I'll read it. There's a key there. It comes up again in 2 Chronicles, but we won't read that. You can't come empty-handed. You can't come to this feast, males, empty-handed. You had to bring something to the feast. Gives you an opportunity to bring something. See, I want you to bring something to this feast that we're having. You are the one. These are the feasts of the Lord, but guess what? Where's the Lord? Inside of you. We as believers in the end time, the journey of a believer is that God indwells his people now. Not that he just anoints people. He indwells himself in us. You and I. The bride of Jesus Christ. We go through every one of these feasts and hardly ever know it. Hardly ever know it. But they're there in the Bible. And we're going to start through it next Sunday, Lord willing. And we'll take each one and show how it fit Israel, how it fit the Lord Jesus when he was here, and how it fits the Lord Jesus inside of you. Passover. I want to ask you a question today. Has the death angel passed over you? You got to take that atonement blood. You got to take the killing of that lamb. And you got to put that blood over your doorpost. Over your doorpost. So that Satan can't enter in. And that you come to a place to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because what does the Bible tell us? If the musicians go ahead and come. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:38, it says, repent. Sometimes we forget that. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the only name God ever had. God's name's not Father. God's name's not Son. God's name's not Holy Ghost. Those are titles to a name. There's only one name, the Bible says, that the whole family of God. You know, the family of Samuel Wade Dale, the second too, the family of Samuel Wade Dale knows he's a father. He's my father. Literally, my father. Right? Now, I hope, number one, he's not going to pass away, but he's got to write a will, and that will says, I, Samuel Wade Dale, gives to all his possessions to Samuel Wade Dale II. But now what if it said, I, Father? Or he writes me $100,000, Mama wouldn't. He writes me $100,000 check and he signs it Father. What's the bank going to do with that? Come on, people. Let's talk about this for a minute. What's the Bible? What's the people going to do? Nothing. Zero. Why? Who's Father? Who's your daddy? But I got a daddy that's got a name. Oh, I got a daddy. He's got a name. His name, yeah, we call him Father. We call him the Son of God. We call him the sweet Holy Ghost. But he's only got one name. And when Jesus stood up that day and he said, repent, go all the world, preach the gospel, bring good tidings, and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Father a name? The Son a name? Is Holy Ghost a name? What is a name? What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter, and I'll send him in my name.
Amen.
My name.
Amen.
So what was Jesus telling them? Exactly what Peter told them on the day of Pentecost. Read your Bible. In the book of Acts. Acts 2:38 says, repent. We forget that part. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall. What a promise. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promise is unto you and your children. And as many as, and I was as far off as you could get. Most of us were. So he was talking to me. As many as far off, as many as the Lord thy God shall call. So that's why the correct baptism is not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That was created by the Catholic Church. Amen? It's in the history. Look it up. The Catholic Church decided that they were going to use Father, Son, Holy Ghost for baptism, which... that is not true. Like I said, what family are you getting baptized into? I, Samuel Dale II, give my possessions to Joshua Rindale and Hannah Elizabeth Dale. Sorry, buddy. You know what? That takes funds and it directs them right to where that name is. So I want funds. I want funds from my Father to go directly to me. Because I did what he said. All right, let's stand up. We don't have to get excited. We'll scare away the new people. We ought to be excited. Truth has come. That's a baptism with promise. It's a promise that you'll receive that fourth feast, the feast of Pentecost,
right,
that baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not a day. Jesus said, we're not in a day now.
Amen.
We're not in a day. we're in a day of rest, yes. But remember, the Bible talks about the day of the Lord. It's not one 24-hour day. This is the day of the Lord. Where the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Lord is, there is this day that we live in. You and I have been caught up in Revelation 4 as John was caught up in that open door. You and I have been caught up into something different than what the world gets. That's why it took a prophet to bring these things to us. We revere the prophet as being one that brought us the revelation, but he's not God. He was born a sinner just like me and you, just like Elijah, just like Elisha, just like Jeremiah, just like Isaiah. We even talk about Paul. Well, there had to be a prophet in the end time, according to Malachi 4, to straighten all these things up. That man, had decided this is the way we're going to do it. But God didn't decide that, because you know what? I talked to a Mormon not too long, well, she used to work for me years ago. They changed their Bible. They change it often, kind of like a calendar. They change it all the time. This thing's never changed. It never will change. It is eternal. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. God bless you. We'll get into these. We'll get into the Passover next Sunday. We just pray that the Lord will help us all. Like I said, I'm going to leave this right here in case anybody wants to take it with them. And we will start. We'll have a little calendar. But remember, these become rituals, though, to Israel. They became just, I got to go to church today, Daddy. Yeah, you got to go to church today. That's what I told them, Leah, my kids, when I was a kid, me and Terrence was a kid, my mom and daddy drug us. They drugged us. They drugged us to church on Sunday and drugged us to church on Wednesday. But I'm off drugs now. And I come when I want to. Amen, right, Zach? Yeah? Your mom and dad drugged you too, didn't they? Drug you everywhere. Now you off them drugs. And you enjoy coming to church. You enjoy coming to fellowship with people of like precious faith. Amen? It's good to see a change in somebody's life, especially young kids. I told Michael sitting around there out around the fire the other night singing. We were singing gospel songs. Doesn't matter how it sounded. I think it sounded good, didn't you? Brother Zach was playing the guitar. Richard was playing the bass. And Brother Aaron was playing the guitar. And we just sat around. Some of y'all missed a lot of good fellowship. And we sang songs, and the Lord just came among us, and we just kept singing, and kept singing, and kept singing. To me, that's fellowship. That's a Father's Day fellowship. But we can fellowship with that Father every day. We don't have to wait to a calendar day on the year. See, Israel had to wait to a calendar day on the year because this was the way they were set up. But when Jesus came, he said, hey, I'm the bread you need to eat now. I'm the Passover lamb. I'm the unleavened bread. I'm all these different things. Amen? But you know what they did? Israel just kept on doing. And they're still doing today. Trying to do Passover, unleavened bread. They still celebrate these things. And there's different words for that, but we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But God bless you. We're going to, like I said, this is something that when we enter in, it should be the same way we entered in with the journey of Abram, that you can say, man, that happened to me. Because the feast days, how can you take them out of the Bible? You can't take them out. They were put there for our information, for us to use and see how a natural people lived by them. But it also became to them a ritual, not a feast. Let's not let this that we have become a ritual and a have to and a got to. And, you know, it's like June's always said, we know that what the Bible says about hair and dress, about how a woman should have long hair and not cut her hair, and women should not wear pants, or
garments according to a man. And June's, of course, June's in-laws thought we brainwashed her. I said, no, the Lord did. Amen. So the things we do for God is a sacrifice. Even the men, the things we do is a sacrifice. Very tiny sacrifice from when that man crawled up on that cross and died for me and you. I told that girl the other day at the dentist office, she was complaining because her preacher preached longer than 15 minutes. Oh, my right. Y'all know part of the story. You know all of it, but you know part of it. My righteous indignation got up. I said, all right, therefore, I told her what I thought. I pulled that thing out of my mouth. I said, lady, that man that you say you worship hung for 3 hours on a cross with nails in his hand. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He was beat to a pulp. Can't you sit 15 minutes and listen to somebody talk about that man? She can hate me if she wants to, sorry. But that's the truth. He hung 3 hours for me and you. Can't we sit for an hour, hour and a half and listen to how that man saved your soul? And how that you can continue to walk through this world and not have to worry about all these things that everybody else worries about. God bless you. Let's sing a song. We'll be here all day.
That raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you.
Evil spirits and all the different things that were afflicting people left them. So we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that lovely name that this will go away from our sister, Lord, by the time she gets home. She'll not even realize that she's healed, Father. We pray that you bless Sister Val too, Lord, and keep her strong and keep her safe and keep all this away from her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask these things, amen, amen.
That dwells in you. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you.
You believe that? Same Spirit? What? Same Spirit? Yeah, the same Spirit.
By His Spirit.
Revelation 8 tells us if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. What do you mean same Spirit, brother? That's exactly what the Bible says. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is what's living in you today. It'll quicken your mortal body. It'll make you do things crazy sometimes. We ain't had nobody with a running fit lately, but we just might. You never know. Shout, praise the Lord. Hey, this is the quietest place you Christians are ever going to see. We're going to be shouting on the hilltops. We're going to be shouting in the valleys. Listen, it'd be a good shouting time if we got up in the morning and didn't hurt somewhere. And the older people said, amen. These young people don't know about this body change thing yet, brother. Darty, what do you mean? I told him the other day, Leah, I told him, I said, the kids, I said, I have to get up in shifts. I have to get my feet on the ground and get my back straightened out and my arm get to hurting and My finger will lock up and get sore, and I'll have to... The kids are going, what? I hope we're gone before you get to experience that. But you know what you do? When your feet hit that floor, every devil in hell is worried. Because you're a child of God. And they can't touch you unless God lets them and allows them, as Brother Dale said this morning, allows something to come on you for your benefit to guide you into what you need. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Go with God. Have a safe few days. We'll be back. Brother Bob will be filling our bucket up again. And these guys are doing a super job. And we appreciate them. We appreciate, yeah, we can just put two hands together. They're doing a really good job. Time's short, folks. We either got to get in or get out. There's no playing around. This thing is coming down to a close. My, look what's happening out in the world. I mean, who would have thought even a year ago that the world would be in the condition it's in now? Who would have thought even 6 months ago that the world in the condition it's in now? But nothing can happen without God protecting His bride. Nothing. You think, oh, we're in trouble. No, we're not in trouble. We're right where we're supposed to be. We're right in that covenant that He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So God bless you. Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'd touch us today, Lord, in all of our bodies, Lord. As we go out the door, Lord, may we feel a rejuvenation, Lord, from the word that we've heard today, knowing that, Father, several thousand years ago, You told these people to do a certain thing. And, Lord, they started doing it, and then they kind of got out of doing it because they thought it was a ritual. Father, we pray, Lord, that no one in this building thinks that being a Christian has to be a ritual. It's something, Lord, as we talk about Sister June, Lord, is telling her family, what more can I do? It's not what less can I do. It's what more can I do for You, Lord? What greater things can we do with cutting out all the sin of the world and all the different things? And the Bible tells us that if we look like the world and act like the world, then the world's in us. But if we look different and act different, talk different, then we know that there's a different spirit. That same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is dwelling in the hearts of individuals in the end time. Father, go with us on the way home. Sanctify us for this journey. We come back together on Wednesday, Lord. May we praise Your great name. Thank You for all the things You've done. Thank You for things that You're going to do, Father. We pray, Lord, that You would just bless our pastor, keep him strong, and all the ministers in the building, Lord, the deacons and the elders, the ones that have something to do with the church service, Lord, we pray that You just be with each one. Bless the musicians and the ones, Lord, that are sitting in the pews, Father. We pray that You just, as the wheels turn on the way home, Lord, that they'll be singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
If that sin, Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead.